What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastors Bob Thune and Dusty White of Quorumdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church in Bellevue, Nebraska. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life, and today we're talking about prayer.
Wait, Mike, you said every Wednesday we sit down to talk about prayer.
That's right. Starting today, we are back with a weekly podcast.
We're back to every week.
Back to every Wednesday, everybody.
Hey, listen. I want you listeners to be encouraged because you know what happened? Everybody started saying, man, I loved the Wednesday conversation. Why don't you guys do that weekly anymore? I literally had so many conversations like that. I was like, oh, this thing was more helpful to people than I realized. Mm-hmm. And though our reasons pastorally for going to monthly were good, I also realized there's actually a pastoral function that this podcast plays that we can't replicate, and that's important. And when we actually started sort of seeing the impact schedule-wise, the way we sort of record these and build them out, it doesn't take that much more time to do them weekly than to do them once a month, especially when our once a month podcasts were like 50 minutes long.
Yeah.
So we're going to be coming in your earbuds once a week at about 25 to 28 minutes. That's our goal. And thanks for speaking out.
You spoke and we listened.
We listened.
Yeah.
It's what we do here. We listen to our listeners.
Because it's a conversation. It's the Wednesday conversation.
Even though we're the only ones with microphones. Today's conversation is from a listener, our friend Michael at Princeton Seminary in New Jersey.
Missed that guy.
Yeah, good dude. Emailed. Said, hey, you guys are preaching through the Lord's Prayer at Quorumdale. I'd like to hear a conversation about real life. What does prayer look like for you guys? As I'm trying to build a discipline of prayer in my own life, I want to hear about what prayer actually looks like, really lived out for some leaders. And so I was like, what a great question. Instead of just preaching about prayer as we go through the Lord's Prayer, at least at Quorumdale, Chris. Sorry, I know that you're not preaching through the Lord's Prayer, so I don't want to stereotype everyone.
What you're doing in weeks, I covered in one sermon.
See?
That's
because you're so much more efficient than me.
He's that good.
You're that good. I love that. I love that about you. So, but I thought, hey, why not just conversationally talk about prayer? So I've typed up 8 or 9 different questions about our actual prayer experiences. That we're just going to go around the table and talk about. And our goal here is to be helpful to listeners as you try to sort of like build a discipline of prayer in your own life and wrestle with the things that actually keep you from prayer, make prayer hard, and can make prayer frustrating at times and whatnot. So that's our goal in this podcast. Here's the first question. Guys, what have been your most powerful or formative experiences in prayer?
Two came to mind right away. The first one is when I was in college. I was helping lead Campus Crusade with a group of students, and one of the girls came up to me and asked me to pray for her friend who was not a Christian, and she was going to share her faith with him. And so I prayed with her. I prayed that, you know, her words would be heard and that the Spirit would be present. And a week later, she was able to tell me and the whole Campus Crusade group about her friend coming to know the Lord. And so that was fun to see the Lord work that fast in prayer. Another time was this back in February. I was in the Dominican Republic with a group of Christians, Spanish-speaking Christians, English friends I was with, English-speaking friends, and we were on a mountain praying over the village in different languages together out loud at the same time. And to experience that, and to know that the Spirit was...
I've experienced that at a bad charismatic church service one time.
Yeah, but like in a sense, it was cool. I know the Lord is hearing all of our prayers at the same time, and He's not confused by the different languages. It felt really cool to experience that.
For me, formative growing up, there was definitely a liturgy of prayer with my mom and my brother and I every night, praying together, and that's sort of how it started when I was younger, and it was my mom tucking us into bed, kind of old school, just pray with us, and it kind of morphed from there. So though that I wouldn't say that I've, you know, prayer's always been easy for me, that definitely has formed me.
Mike, like you, I think I have two thoughts. Like you, my first powerful time in prayer was in college as well, where every morning in the summer, so this only happened in the summer, but I was painting, and I remember we committed. There's a few guys that committed to praying every single morning. And so it was before we went and painted, we just had this prayer gathering every single morning. And we're like, why not? I mean, church doors were open. So, and that was formative for me because it felt like I'm going to do this every single day with other people. And that's actually where prayer sparked for me as a better discipline, which plays into things that I'll talk about later. I would also say powerful formative experiences in prayer happen for me when I get to pray for people pastorally. So people will come up, they'll ask for prayer, we'll pray for people in accordance with the scripture, right? James calls us to do this. We'll pray for people, and like seeing people experience legitimate healing or relief from pain or prayers being answered shapes me in incredible ways, because I realize how weak my faith is in those moments. And I'm just actually doing the thing that God's called me to do and asked me to do, and that these people are asking me to do. But then hearing stories and testimonies of people experiencing the Lord's hand in that. So there was early on in ministry, there was this young girl who kept having seizures just randomly. Nobody could explain it medically, et cetera. So the parents in desperation called for pastors to pray. We prayed for her, and she never had another seizure. And so the parents were like, man, the Lord healed her through your prayer. That's not my prayer. That's just our faith colliding together and God doing something. And so that's super formative for me because it strengthens my weak faith.
My most formative experience in prayer was in college. My dear friend Mark Robinson, who's still a good friend of mine, he's a pastor now in Norman, Oklahoma, in the city where we both went to school. But we went to college together, and every Sunday night for our junior and senior years, we committed every Sunday night at, I think, at 9 p.m. We would meet together for an hour of prayer. And we went up to this, there's a building on campus that's like a 10-story building. It's like the tallest building on campus. And so we found this faculty lounge on the 10th floor that literally, I don't think you were supposed to be there unless you were faculty, but it was Sunday night. No one was in the building. And so we would take the elevator up to the 10th floor. We'd go into that faculty lounge, look out over the campus, and just pray together for an hour and pray for revival, pray for God's work on our campus, pray for the world, pray for each other. And it was just really rich and formative for me and sort of grounded me in a very rich experience of prayer that was, you know, with a close friend. And so there was just brotherhood there, but it was also, you know, me taking responsibility to see God answer prayer on our campus. And so it was formative in that rhythm. One of the things interesting to me as I hear all of us talk is that for most of us, those experiences involve community. Mm-hmm. Right? Like a lot of where we experience formative prayer is not alone in isolation, but with others. Yeah. All right, opposite question. What's the weirdest or strangest or worst experience you've had with prayer? Let's tell the bad stories, not just the good ones.
So I'll go first again. So Bob, you mentioned strange charismatic experiences. I was at a charismatic church, and we were all in the room, and this special preacher was in the room praying for all of us. And he was going down the line, and he got to me, and I had my hands in my pockets, head bowed, and he was this English guy, and he said, "Don't stand before the king with your hands in your pockets, boy." And so I'm like, all right. So I took out my hands and I kind of like put them up, and he's like, "Stop praying, you." And so he was just like telling me how to pray and praying over me. And it was just bizarre. And it kind of killed the night for me.
That's rough, man. How did that end? Did he just skip to the next guy or what?
He prayed something and then moved on. Yes.
British just like cut right to the point.
Yeah.
Get your hands out of your pockets.
Yeah.
So I was saved in a charismatic church, a rather, as I lovingly like to refer to it, a rowdy charismatic church. Hour-long altar calls,
wow.
Lots of speaking in tongues. I mean, it was the whole nine yards. But that was all. I mean, that's all I knew of Christianity for, you know, first part of my faith journey. But one particular night, Sunday nights is when it would get real crazy. Like Sunday mornings, a little bit more subdued in some ways because that's when the visitors were there. But Sunday nights. Man, it got rocking. So one particular night, I mean, we're talking people just, it's just chaos. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. People speaking in tongues, people making lots of noise, and it seemed like the louder you got, the better. And so as this is happening, the pastor has a word from the Lord about different healings and different things, and makes a comment about someone's tooth being filled. Someone has a cavity, someone's tooth being filled. Well, I didn't think much of it at the time, but after that prayer meeting, talking with some friends, and someone comes up to me, an adult comes up to me and says, "Hey, did you have a tooth filled by the Lord?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? I have no idea." And then it occurred to me that I had been talking to some of my friends in the youth group about having to go to the dentist later that week. And so they were like, "Sure, the Lord had filled my tooth." I go to the dentist that week, had to get the cavity fixed.
Oh, man, I thought it was going to be like, real cool.
It was weird. It was weird.
Oh, bummer.
I will say this. It was the least painful cavity fixing that I had had up in my... I mean, I was terrified to go to the dentist at that point, but it was pretty much painless. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'll take that.
We were all waiting for like...
something miraculous.
The tooth was gone. Maybe the tooth just vanished.
I don't know. I wanted to believe. I was going in expecting... Hey, this isn't gonna need to get fixed. Like, that's what I thought was gonna happen. I wasn't even like it's gonna be filled with like gold or like these other people. I was just
through the power of dentistry, though, it was filled.
Common grace right there.
The strangest experience I've had, I can't really nail it down to one event, but it's usually when people are informing God at a prayer meeting. Do you know what I mean
by
that?
He doesn't
like,
know.
Yeah, they're praying, but actually they're not. They're kind of like informing the group about what's going on. And those are always just really strange, weird
commentary
experiences for
prayers.
Me. Because I'm like, hey, God, the God you're praying to or you were praying to, he actually knows everything. And now you're just like telling us about things.
Yeah, you're talking to us, not God.
Yeah, you're talking to us. So anyway, that's just weird to me.
I've had so many strange and bad experiences that I think I've blocked many of them out. I literally, as I'm looking at that, I'm like, I can't think of that many, although I know that I've had many. But one in particular, when I was in college, there was this evangelist who was coming to campus, and all the churches in the city like sort of banded together. It was a kind of a cool unity thing. I was like, all right, let's all band together to do this evangelistic thing on campus. It turns out the evangelist was a pretty cheesy guy. Like, bless him. I think he loves the Lord, but he just, if you're going to try to do evangelism on a college campus, there has to be a certain like presence that you have that college students resonate with. So we had spent like months and months having these big prayer meetings of like, God, you know, use this to really bring renewal on our campus. Well, what happened was they did it in the basketball arena. So there's like thousands and thousands and thousands of seats. And literally, it's just all youth group kids from all the churches. Like, it was basically like every church brought their youth group. And so I'd been praying as though, man, we want to pray for like non-Christians to come. And I looked around the room and it was just, I could tell, like, I knew most of these people from all these different Christian youth groups. But then the way they spun it from the front was like, look how many people are here. God's bringing, I was just like, no, this isn't revival. This is just all the youth groups from the city coming together in the same building. And so it really made me cynical. Like, it was one of those, it was really hard for me because I felt like they were trying to spin it as though, see, God's answering our prayers for revival. You know, his revival's breaking out here now and people are going to get converted. And I was like, no, most of these people that are going to walk forward in an aisle already walked an aisle last year or last month at some other camp or some other event. And so, I struggle with cynicism anyway. And that's just one of those things that for me, like, made me more cynical of like, okay, if we're going to say that God's answering our prayers, then maybe we're not actually trusting that he can do that in the ways we were hoping for, and this is like our way of compensating. So that was sad. All right, different question than experiences. What do you find most difficult about prayer?
My answer to this would be listening. I find it difficult to create enough space while I'm praying to just make it listening. If prayer is communication back and forth with God, and you know those conversations you get in with other people where they're doing all the talking and then it's just over. That's how I often feel like with my prayer life, where I'm just like, I'm going to prayer, I'm telling God about a bunch of stuff, and I'm hanging up, you know? So creating the discipline inside the prayer of listening, creating space.
I'm with you, Dusty. The words that came to mind for me, stillness and waiting. I struggle to enter into that time and just be still before the Lord and just wait. It's very easy for me to, you know, barrage with language. So I have been working in this for 2018. One of the things that I distinctly put at the beginning. I was like, hey, I want to grow in prayer and grow in this way. And so just having unhurried time, but it's still a struggle. It's just hard for me to sit still.
Yeah, maybe another way to say this, to answer this question too for me would be, the other thing I find difficult about prayer is just giving myself grace as I continue to learn it. Because it's a learned thing. I mean, we see this all throughout Scripture. The reason the Lord's Prayer is in the Bible is because the disciples are like, hey, Lord, teach us how to pray. So it's a learned behavior too. And I have, I think, unrealistic, wholly sanctified perspective of what my prayer life should be. So giving myself grace too along the way.
Yeah, I'd say the biggest struggle for me is, am I saying the right thing? Because I know there's good and right ways to pray, but I also know that the Lord hears whatever we say. And so I often find myself in the middle, or trying to be in the middle of praying in a way that honors the Lord, but also praying like a child and just being honest and open with the Lord as well.
I find two things most difficult about prayer. One is my mind wanders all the time.
Yeah.
I can come up with amazing lists of home renovation projects. I can come up with all kinds of to-do things that I'm like, I need to call this person and write this person, do this thing. Like, that all comes to me when I'm trying to pray, which is just classic. Like, that's just normal. But, man, that's so hard to feel like I'm actually focused in prayer. The other thing I find difficult is devoting time to it. What I mean by that is, by God's grace, I've actually developed a pretty conversational relationship with the Lord where I feel like I'm interacting with Him all day, and yet I don't do a good job setting aside devoted, hey, here's 20 minutes or 30 minutes where I'm just doing nothing but praying. And that gets worse the busier I get and the older I get and the more leadership things get put on me. So it's just hard. And I hope listeners hear that as encouraging of, like, you know, it's... setting aside time to pray is not an easy thing to do. It's going to, if it feels difficult to you, it's probably going to feel difficult to you no matter how old you are or how mature you are or what life looks like in the future. It really is one of those things that has to be a consistent struggle to discipline and create. What's helped you most in developing a life of prayer?
The thing that's helped me the most in developing a life of prayer is journaling my prayers.
Yeah.
Some people talk about spiritual disciplines as journaling, as they'll add journaling to it, but prayer is a separate thing. And for me, it's a combined thing. So what helps me pray is literally writing them out. Mm-hmm. And so I'll just write out my prayers a couple times a week because it slows me down, keeps me focused, as you mentioned earlier, Bob. And I do it with an actual pen and I'm writing my thoughts out. It's not journaling like, here's what I did today. It's more just like, Lord, here's where I'm at.
You're a lefty, so you probably get ink all over the side of your
hand. Yeah. I push the pen. So that's been regular practice for me for a while.
Yeah, same here. I actually try to mix in the here's what I did yesterday or here's what I plan on doing today and kind of keep that conversational between the Lord and inviting the Lord into those things. I remember reading Augustine's Confessions and realizing, like, oh, this book is almost like a prayer, a conversation between him and the Lord. And I was, like, really intrigued by that. And so I've been trying to journal that way. And hopefully in 100 years, people are reading my journals or something like that.
Wow. I'm not going to read that.
Wow.
Saint
Michael Kresnick.
Yeah. The other thing is just using scripture as a template for prayer. So, like, the Psalms and just literally praying a line of the Psalms and then using that to inform my language in my prayer.
So at the beginning of 2018, I wanted to grow specifically in prayer. And one of the things that I recognized I needed to do in my devotional time was shorten how much scripture I'm reading and carve out some more space for prayer. And so the way that I've been practically doing this, is journaling now. And so recognizing, hey, I don't have to pray for an hour. I can go for, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes tops. I'm trying to do this most every day. But the journaling piece has actually helped me to slow down a bit. It's helped me to be still. It's helped me to wait because I'm not just writing constantly. It's just giving me space to reflect and to pause and try to hear from the Lord in word and just reflection. So that has really helped significantly over these past 4 months.
The thing that's helped me most in developing a life of prayer is doing it in community with others for a really long time. I just find praying with other people has helped me listen better. It's helped me learn to slow my mind down and be attentive to what the Spirit is doing. And, you know, that's been, I've been building that discipline. Like I mentioned with my friend Mark, that was when we were, you know, 21 years old. So I've been building that for 2 decades now, praying with various people. But for me, man, praying in community has been really crucial in developing a life of prayer and learning how to engage the Lord in prayer. Let's roll then right into this question. What are regular disciplines of prayer that you actually practice? So not ideal disciplines, but actual, what do you actually do, guys, on a daily or weekly or monthly basis to pray?
Mm-hmm. So as I was saying before, 20, 30 minutes consistently every day. I do try to do longer periods of time periodically. So for example, yesterday I spent the afternoon, it was beautiful out, went to Fontenelle Forest, walked around for a couple hours, prayed, sat for a while, journal, walked, prayed. So I try to do that at least once a month, but the consistent is 20, 30 minutes a day.
I want to be like Chris when I grow up, basically, is the answer to this question. But at best, I'm 2 to 3 times a week when it comes to journaling my prayers. But there's the regular patterns or disciplines right now would be praying with other people, honestly. There's certain things in the weekly rhythm, things that we're doing here at church, things that we're doing with elders, things that we're doing Saturdays before Sundays, stuff like that is very helpful. And then praying with my wife, we do that pretty regularly. Not every night, but most nights. And then right now, as a dad, I'm praying with my kids most nights, except mm-hmm. for the nights that I'm away mm-hmm. with church stuff. So, mm-hmm. And trying to make those reflective. And so certain prayers that we've written inform those, because usually at night I'm fried and I'm tired, especially around their bedtimes. I want to go to bed as well. And so those are usually written out prayers that help shape that.
I get up early, probably 4 to 6 times a week, and I pray. I have a book called The Divine Hours that kind of guides me through psalm readings and gospel readings. Sit down, make a cup of coffee, and I journal. And then also praying with the kids at dinner and bedtimes when Jenny and I usually forget, our kids remind us to pray. And so it's become a regular thing in our house for us.
Daily, my daily rhythm is the Daily Liturgy Podcast. It's one of the reasons I did it is because I want to use it for my own spiritual life. So almost every day I'm listening to that and engaging the prayers there. And then I try to roll from there into about 15 to 20 minutes of just devoted intercession. After listening to that podcast, honestly, that often ends up being 15 to 20 minutes of scattered and distracted intercession, where I start praying for someone. I'm like, oh, I forgot to call that person back. Oh, that person texted me last week. And that's honestly... Yeah. You know, I just want to be realistic that, like, it's not like I'm just communing with the Lord for 20 unhindered minutes. It's actually fragmentary, and it can be a little bit discombobulated, but that's the aim is Daily Liturgy Podcast, 15 to 20 minutes of prayer. That's not always reality. Sometimes it's 5 minutes of prayer. Sometimes it's Daily Liturgy Podcast in my car on the way to meet with someone for some other reason. Mm-hmm. And then a weekly rhythm. It's more helpful to me to think in terms of weeks and months. Mm-hmm. So weekly, every Saturday night, you guys know this, I started a gathering on Saturday nights to pray in preparation for Sunday just because I wanted to. So I invited some friends and folks from our church to join me, and we just pray for 30 minutes late on Saturday night, kind of heading into Sunday mornings. Every single elder meeting we have at Coram Dea, we spend the first 30 minutes praying for members and people in our church. And so that's really rich time for me of just caring for the flock through prayer. And then every time I do I try to do a day of solitude every 6 to 8 weeks. And during those times, I'm spending extended time in sort of what I would just call aloneness with the Lord. That's honestly a lot of listening sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's not much interceding. It's more just me being present before the Lord. And like you said, Chris, I'll walk outside or, you know, just go sit in the sunshine somewhere and just sort of be and just, you know, present myself before the Lord and try to process life and listen to, all right, God, what am I concerned about, frustrated about, anxious about? Here's what's going on in my world. Here's what's going on in my life. What do you want me to see? What do you want me to take stock of? So it's what the mystics would call more of a contemplative kind of discipline and less of a, you know, intercessory kind of a discipline.
And that's really good, I think, for listeners to hear too, Bob, that prayer isn't in its own bucket, but like meditation and reflection and solitude, all of that stuff collides together to be very formative. Because I think when I first became a Christian, I used to think like, okay, I got to pray. I got to like, I don't know what this really looks like, but apparently it's got to happen. And so I got to do some talking to God and I got to like, I don't know how this all works. But so it's very freeing, I think, to think, okay, actually, I need to just create some space to commune with the Lord, reflect, like you said earlier, Mike, let scripture inform my prayers. All of that stuff can all be prayerful.
Yeah, I think that language of communion has been really helpful to me. Prayer is communing with the Lord. Prayer is not an activity. It's not a thing I can do.
Mm.
It is an activity in the sense that I need to set aside time and space for it, but it's much more a communion. And so that's been really helpful to me to get out of the list mindset of I need to pray like this and more. I need to experience communion with the Lord, listening, talking, being. And man, it's been fascinating to me. There are seasons in my life where I will be, for instance, I'll feel a sermon bearing down on me because Sunday's coming, but I'm going on a day of solitude on a Wednesday or Thursday. And I'm just like, well, I'm not going to work on that sermon today. I need to be with the Lord. And literally, I said literally a lot in this podcast, haven't I? I keep saying the word literally in that way that you're not supposed to say it because it's not actually, what I'm about to say is not literal or figurative. It's just a way of emphasizing what I'm about to say. So what happens, however, is at the end of that time of solitude, in 10 minutes, I'll have an outline for us. The Holy Spirit just drops on me like, well, here's what I need to say, and here's exactly how it fits together. And it's the kind of thing where I could have spent 10 hours trying to get that, but in 10 minutes, the Spirit just gave it to me. And it was just because I sought communion with the Lord instead of my being driven by my tasks.
That's good. All the pastors listening just were like, oh, I should pray more now.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, I appreciate what you just said because I've learned that over the past 2 years since we've planted and having to preach regularly. And this even happened to me yesterday where I typically take all day Tuesday to knock out the majority of my sermon. And there was a couple things that had happened. And I was just feeling super angsty. And I'm thinking, no, instead of trying to grind the sermon out, I'm going out in the woods and walking and praying this afternoon. And it was like that. I mean, it just, there was a freedom I experienced from communing with the Lord. And I wasn't even thinking about my sermon. But when I sat down this morning to start writing, it was just like, there. I think there is if you're in ministry, the tasks come bearing down and you think the answer, I'm just going to grind it out. Where no, we find our strength and our wisdom and our even productivity in a sense in communing with the Lord.
That's a really good word to combine all of that. Really what you both have said is that it's disciplined, thoughtful work and you've planned for it.
Yeah.
So I just think that's encouraging because everybody listening and me, you have all these different things you could be doing.
Right.
And it's not like those things are going away and don't need to be done. They still need to get done. But I'm gonna trust that this discipline is on my calendar for a reason and in my mind and prompted by the Spirit, and I'm just gonna be faithful to it.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a pastor to approach your vocation that way.
Mm.
Like prayerfully go into your morning as you get your kids ready for school or as you're running errands or going to work or going to the gym or whatever you have before you. Set aside time to pray and see what the Lord does.
That's good. All right. I want you guys now to think about pastoring our listeners through the microphone. Answer this question. What have you learned in your own journey that might be helpful to a listener? So a lot of what we've talked about hopefully is helpful, but just if you had to say, hey, here's one thing I've learned that I think can be helpful to others just in building a faithful life of prayer, what would that one thing be? For me, the answer is honestly going to be pray with people, praying in community with other people. I think it's the best way to grow in prayer. There's multiple reasons for that. But I just think, man, instead of burdening yourself with how am I going to carve out time in my own life, you need to do that. But one way to get there is just to try to pray with others as often as you have opportunity. Take advantage of every prayer meeting your church has, every person in your gospel community that's getting people together to pray, every opportunity you have to pray with people, whether that's in your household or in your church family, do that. It's been so helpful to me. And the other thing is it stirs up, like, by listening to other people's prayers, sometimes you're really blessed. Sometimes like, oh man, it's really good to hear somebody. I didn't have words for that, but that person just put words to it. other times you hear somebody do things and it makes you think of something you do. You know, so you're like, why does that person keep saying the same phrase over and over again? Like you, I teach sometimes people who pray and like they say Father every fifth word, you know, or like they use God's name and it's almost just like they're using it as a comma. Mm-hmm. And I try to like pastor them in those moments when I can. But when I first heard somebody do that, it made me go, oh, I do that. Like that's really annoying sitting here listening to someone like use it as a filler. I'd do that exact same thing. I should probably just talk to God more patiently and not feel like I need to say his name so frequently to kind of catch my train of thought. And so those kinds of things, when you pray with people, there's just ways it blesses you, ways it encourages you, ways you learn things, ways you grow in your own soul, and ways you sort of grow in communion with others that I think are really, really beneficial.
I would say saturate yourself in the Psalms. We've said it numerous times, but using the Psalms to inform, to educate, to give yourself a language on how to talk to the Lord, how to pray for things. Scripture will give you that foundation, will give you that that vocabulary to pray.
Pray as you think, meaning if prayer isn't its own thing all the time, and the Spirit is, you're walking with the Spirit, and the Spirit's prompting you to do things, that's and good. He's bringing things to mind.
That's good.
I think it's Don Whitney that talks about this, and he's quoting John Owen, but he's basically saying, praying without ceasing actually just means pray as you're thinking. And it's not a burden. It's not an actual burden to pray steadfastly or without ceasing. Just pray as you're going through the day. And so it doesn't have to. So even though we're saying on this podcast, like set aside time, be intentional, 20 to 30 minutes a day, all of that stuff, journal a little bit, take days of solitude, all that stuff's really good. But I think also just pray as you think. And when people need prayer, pray for them. Pray for them right now. Don't say, I'm going to go pray for you, or I will pray, or I'll pray for that. Just pray for it right now. Like that's just, I'm thinking about this right now. I'm praying for you right now. So there's often times where intercession just comes as I'm thinking about a particular person for some random reason, probably from the Spirit.
Why'd that person come up in my head?
I don't think about that person very often. Oh, dropped in my mind. Prayerful. I'm also going to shoot them a text just to encourage them that I just prayed for them. Did that this morning. So pray as you think. That's my encouragement.
That's good. I think the thing that I've learned is that prayer is normal, and this is what I mean by that, that so often we expect prayer to have this like super ginormous like rush and high, that if I don't have this great experience, if I don't carve out enough time to have this experience, I mean, I'm communing with God, and I should feel that. I should walk away with this, I don't know, intensity, and I think a lot of ways prayer is kind of presented that way. But that it's just like with any relationship. Sometimes you're going to be hanging out with people and you're going to have this rush of an experience. Sometimes you just hang out with people and it's pretty normal. And you, and so prayer in many ways is just a normal part of our walk with the Lord. And it, you experience it very much in that way as well. And so be cool with that. Be great with that. Don't burden yourself with these expectations that prayer has to be X. Let it just be normal.
That's really good. I like to, it's helped me to think of friendship with God, right? Like when people use the phrase walk with Jesus, I know that can be like Christian cliche, but really what that means is just like a kind of communion with the Lord that kind of feels like the way I would talk to a friend, right? Or the way I would, you know, call somebody up and say, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what I'm thinking about. That kind of conversational relationship with God that's just in the flow of everyday life. Is really beautiful and rich. Mm-hmm. All right, last thing. What's the best book you've read on prayer? Let's just give some book recommendations just for people that want to go do some reading and get inspired.
Okay, here's my answer. The best book on prayer that I've ever read is not a book on prayer. It's The Life and Diary of David Brainerd. That's actually the book that sparked me to start journaling my prayers.
Because I've never read it. So this is a book I've never read.
Oh, that's amazing. Mark that down. You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here that I've read a book that Bob Thune has not. But the reason why is because he's just going to the Lord in short snippets with his just the things he's burdened about, and he's journaling them. David Brainerd died at 30 in Jonathan Edwards' home. where Jonathan Edwards invited him to his home, and he died there in his care. But he's a missionary to the Indians and got sick at 29, died at 30. But and then Edwards like edited his journal, and it's just all these prayers. Sometimes it's like ministered to the Indians, got discouraged,
went home,
didn't have any fruit, got sick. I'm like, oh, I get this guy. Like
that makes sense. It sounds like my Tuesday.
Life. Yeah, this helps my prayer life right here. And so like that's actually the book I was like, oh, this is super helpful. I love all those other books on spiritual disciplines and prayer and that's Willard good. And Foster and guys, but that's the book that
I love. That I like getting
life.
A recommendation that I've never read. Mm-hmm. What's yours, Mike?
The one book that has driven me to go to the Psalms is Contemplative Pastor by Eugene Peterson. Mm. And then,
what if I'm not a pastor? Can I still read that book?
Totally.
Okay, cool.
Because it's not necessarily about pastors, but it's about
contemplation,
and us being people who can. Contemplate and minister to people and all that. The other one is Recapturing the Wonder by Mike Cosper. It's kind of a spiritual disciplines book, but he has a piece on there about prayer, breath prayers.
Ooh, yeah.
Going back to just simple prayers like, Lord, have mercy, mm-hmm. things like that.
Of course, you have to recommend Tim Keller's book on prayer.
I've never read it.
Who's Tim Keller?
He's this dude in New York, kind of old guy.
Older guy.
Yeah, his book is fantastic. But my favorite thing to read on prayer is actually a chapter, the chapter on prayer from Desiring God. Mm-hmm. I read this when I was in my mid-20s, and it just kind of blew my world up as far as how I thought about prayer. But here's my favorite quote from the chapter, and I've used this quote in like 5 different sermons because I love it so much. So this is John Piper, Desiring God, chapter on prayer. Jesus says to the woman at the well, "If you just knew the gift of God and who I am, you would ask me. You would pray to me." There is a direct correlation between not knowing Jesus well and not asking much from him. A failure in our prayer life is generally a failure to know Jesus. If you knew who was talking to you, you would ask me. A prayerless Christian is like a bus driver trying alone to push his bus out of a rut because he doesn't know Clark Kent is on board. If you knew, you would ask. A prayerless Christian is like having your room wallpapered with Saks Fifth Avenue gift certificates, but always shopping at Goodwill because you can't read. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that speaks to you, you would ask. You would ask. Love that quote.
Dang, Johnny.
Johnny P.
That's good stuff right there. All right, I'll give the book that all you guys thought I was going to give, which is A Praying Life, hands down, the best book on prayer that I've ever read. And I haven't read Brainerd, but I've read a lot of books on prayer. Here's why it's so good. One, I saw recently in its reprinting, it sold over 300,000 copies. Mm. That is a lot of copies in the publishing world, by the way. A successful book is 5,000 copies. Mm. So if you've sold 300,000, you've said something that scratches where people
That's pretty good.
Paul Miller just talks about what does it mean to build a praying life. He says, I don't want to help you get better at prayer. I want you to cultivate a praying life. I want prayer to be your life. And it's so down to earth and practical, and it's not like super spiritual, ethereal. It's just like very everyday, ordinary. And the dude like lives life with a special needs daughter and has a lot of responsibility. And so he's just like, here's what my actual life looks like. Here's how I'm trying to work prayer into the cracks of my everyday existence. And here's how it's difficult. And man, it's just a beautifully encouraging and helpful book. So I recommend it all the time. It's on the top 10 bookshelf at Coram Deo because that's how much I like it.
And the appendix in that book is worth the price of the cover.
It's such a practical book. If you're looking for practical ways in which to cultivate a praying life, like he has all the things. And I even read that with a handful of skeptic dudes, and it rocked their world.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, hopefully this podcast has just encouraged you. Michael, thanks for asking the question and inviting us to talk about our actual experiences in prayer. It's been fun to do. And I hope that for listeners, this spurs you, encourages you, you know, inspires you to be more faithful and diligent and to persist in communing with the Lord in prayer.
We're going to do this again next week?
Probably not this long. This one's kind of a long one. This was like our last of the monthly recordings.
Okay,
so
got it.
If you're a fan of the monthly recordings.
If you're a fan of long podcasts, I'm sure you'll love this one. Next week, we'll go 25 minutes.
Well, that's going to do it for today's episode. The goal of the Wednesday Conversation is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another church or city, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we talked about today might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Shoot us an email, podcast@cdomaha.com. We'd like to hear from you, like Michael emailed us about prayer. Email us your topic suggestions, and we might talk about it. And we'll be here next Wednesday for another Wednesday Conversation.